going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
2-2 pitch, hit in the air to deep left field. Green is going back, on the move, at the wall, leaps up, it's going to go! A two-run homer for Elias Diaz, his first of the year. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead here in the second.
Yes, if you paid any attention to today's ball game, you know that highlight was not from today's ball game. That was the only highlight of yesterday's ball game. But fortunately for the Padres, that's the only one they needed to get at least a game in Detroit. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, everybody. A full 4 hours together on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. on his way back to San Diego with the ball club from Detroit. And I guess you could say that the Padres are limping home in more ways than one. You've got all the injured players that you have to file their way onto the airplane.
Yes, they board first.
Although Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge are already here,
yes.
So they don't have to travel, but yes, I mean, it's the MASH unit, and, you know, look, when you're sending out a lineup that a third of your lineup started the season in the minor leagues, when you're starting a lineup for the second consecutive day, I didn't even know this is possible 5 weeks into a season, but for the second consecutive day, the Padres started a lineup where their number four hitter, number five hitter, number six hitter, and to speed things up, their number seven, eight, and nine hitters, those six players had combined going into the game tonight today with no home runs. None. Yesterday was the same thing, but Elias Diaz changed that with his first home run of the year, but he wasn't in the lineup today. I don't know too many teams that have the second best record in baseball when their cleanup hitter has no home runs. Unless their number five and six hitters are powering the ball over the fence. But the Padres' five and six hitters are both basically been minor leaguers all year that are trying to find their way in the big leagues. This is what happens. I understand that you've got to deal with the injuries. Every team does. But when we say that you're going to be up against it, this is what happens. Tirso Ornelas, you know, finally squared one up in his last at bat. And, you know, unfortunately for him, Javi Baez, who's only played center field three games in his entire life,
makes an incredible catch.
You know, looks like Willie Mays going back there to grab that ball. But, you know, you've got guys that have been in the minor leagues all year. They're seeing pitches they haven't seen. Connor Joe hasn't seen curveballs like the ones he's seeing now, and he's missing them by a foot. So, you know, look, you've got minor league guys trying to keep you afloat. And thankfully, it's not as bad as it could be. Look, the Padres only scored 15 runs on this road trip. They had two or fewer runs in half the games. But they still got two wins out of it. Thanks to who? Fernando winning the one game on Sunday in Houston. and Nick Pivetta winning the game last night. So to me, even though I'm certainly disappointed, I no longer have the best record in the big leagues. The Mets now have that, thanks to the worst pitcher in baseball, by the way, this season, Jordan Romano of the Phillies.
I felt bad for him when he was walking off the mound.
This guy has been absolutely... He was signed by the Phillies to be a shutdown, lockdown closer.
Which he has been in the past.
He has been his whole career. He now couldn't get you or I out.
No.
And they brought him in with a lead in the bottom of the 10th inning today. What are they thinking?
They didn't have pitching.
Whatever. Bring a position player in. I mean, you know, he's not, he can't get anyone out. He gives up a double and a single. Mets score two, win the game. So anyway, the Mets have the best record for the moment. Padres are a half game up on the Dodgers for the moment. Dodgers play the Cubs later. But this could be way worse when you consider the injuries that they have. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. It just flat out is a fact. You can't compete at the big league level without big league players. So ask the Rockies. They try to do it every night, and they can't compete. I mean, they maybe have two legit major leaguers, Brenton Doyle and Ezekiel Tovar. Ryan McMahon used to be one. I don't know if he is anymore.
Struck out a lot.
Right. But my point, you're sending basic borderline minor leaguers out there night after night. You're getting your brains bashed in. The Padres are not getting their brains bashed in. They're hanging in there because they're pitching. And then they stole a couple games. This could have been an 0-6 road trip very easily, considering all of the guys that were out of the lineup. So, you know, you take what you can get. And you were able to sneak a win yesterday. Pivetta was incredible. Look, here's the deal with Nick Pivetta. Every team in baseball, and I mean every team, had a chance and then some to sign this guy to a free agent contract. Every team in baseball passed on him. And the Padres finally said, okay, you know, we haven't made a move yet. We'll take him, and we probably get him at a little bit of a reduced rate because it's now getting late in the game. He needs a job. Well, the guy right now is the best free agent signing of any player in baseball.
He's making, what, like $1 million or something?
I think more than that. Well, I don't know. Check
He's
it out.
He's got a really, really interesting contract that makes it very friendly.
I think it goes up after a while.
It does.
You're good at contracts, so look that up. But
he's making $2.5 million.
Okay,
well, base payroll this year,
and he's pitching like a $12.5 million pitcher.
Exactly.
And so, you look. It just goes to show you don't ever know, and teams think they know, and they lavish money on Jordan Romano, and they lavish money on guys like this.
Juan Soto.
Soto made a good throw today. I'll give him that.
He did.
Cut down a potential winning run at the plate. So I'm going to give Soto that. And look, we can make fun of him at our own peril.
Yes,
because eventually
true.
He's going to start, you know, crushing somebody.
You know, Mets fans are feeling what Padres fans felt when Juan Soto was here. Because he started slow with the Padres in his full season.
He'll get going.
Yeah,
he's too good not to. But, you know, guys get signed for $20 million, $30 million, $40 million. A.J. Preller, for once in his career... And maybe it was ordained by the front office mix-ups and things that were going on. Maybe it's just a change in strategy. But he let all those big guys go. And we criticized the hell out of him. Well, he's getting the last laugh right now because he's got the best free agent in baseball, Pivetta. I mean, 1.20 ERA through five starts. That's the best by any Padre ever.
Wow, I didn't know ever.
Ever. Joe Musgrove had been, I think, 1.25. So, look, Pivetta wins the game last night. You get a one shot from Diaz. That's the second extra base hit he's had all year. So, these are the kind of little things to me that signal the fact you're actually probably going to be on your way to a good season. When you win a game like that,
yeah,
where Diaz wins the game with, you know, one shot, Pivetta does it, and... They also probably don't win that game 2-0 if it isn't for Mason McCoy
looking out of nowhere.
Looking over there like Jackie Robinson at second base.
So far we've got a Willie Mays and a Jackie Robinson.
Jackie. McCoy made one catch early in the game in foul territory to take the bat out of Torkelson's hands,
yep,
which is a good guy to take the bat out of. And then in the eighth inning, you've got a man on base. You've got Carpenter, who is a slugger for Detroit, left-handed hitter. He can tie the game with one swing, even against Jason Adam. He can do it. Bombs already. And McCoy runs over there next to the railing and the screen, makes a sensational catch.
Yeah.
To take him, you know, take the bat out of his hands. Then the next guy hits a line shot up the middle and he dives and grabs that. These are the kind of contributions you love to see for a team that is going to have a great year.
Yeah. And I'm with you.
And so, you know, today, I'm going to, you know, it's their first time shut out this year. They didn't play great. I thought Kyle Hart pitched okay. He made two horrible pitches. And if you look at the replays, it's the same thing he did in the loss to Houston the other night. You can't, you know that box that's there on the screen?
The strike zone box?
Strike zone box. You can't put a ball right in the middle of that. Big league hitters will hit it out of the ballpark. And those, the two pitches that were hit out today were both right smack dab in the middle. And he did that to Cam Smith last week. So, look, I give him credit for keeping the team in the game. For once, the bullpen was a little leaky. They gave up four runs today. The bullpen's ERA ballooned, I think, to 1.73. So I'll still take
that. Can't believe them.
Yeah, I'll still take that. And to try to put it in final perspective, a 17-8 record through 25 games means you're on pace for 102 wins, and you'd still have two games remaining at the end. I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
I'll be okay with that if they can keep it up. But
even I'm not panicking after today, Chris.
Very good, Scrape. Very good.
You know,
good.
They faced Jack Flaherty last night. Like you said, Diaz was the difference. One pitch decided that game last night, basically.
It's the only hit they got the entire last 2 days.
The Tigers are going to be a playoff team. They look good. They have the young players. Like the pitcher today, Olson. You know, he hasn't been great so far this year, but he hasn't been terrible. I mean, they're running into good pitchers.
He shut him down.
And I hate that excuse. You know I hate that excuse of they're running into good pitchers, but they're the running truth
in,
is the truth.
They're running into some good pitchers. But
good pitching.
But they don't have their team. They
exactly.
just don't have
the
their
team. The offense is nothing like it was to start the year.
Well, it can't be. You've got half the lineup on the injured list. So it is what it is. I think you give them not a pass. You never give them a pass. You got to win. You got to go out to win with what you got. But the disappointment is not as heightened as it normally would be because you're doing what you can with what you've got. You hope that you get back. You got tomorrow off. You hope when the bell rings Friday, we see a glimpse of Jackson Merrill.
I'd rather have yes, please. I'd rather have this team this year and what they've done in the last road trip than last year's start. And the team that started last year. It was so frustrating. It was the roller coaster, remember?
Yeah.
They beat up on the Marlins, and then that one day, the roller coaster thing was because the Marlins crushed the Padres at home in a getaway day. And the sky was falling then. The sky's not falling right now.
No, this was their first getaway day loss of the season, by the way. So they have to fly home on a down note. We have an up note for you because it's a really good show. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris is underway.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to T-Mobile.com. Get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Scrape, what's your latest iPhone number? What do you have? About 12? 13?
I think that I have the iPhone Never.
What does that mean?
It means I've never had an iPhone.
You know what I mean. All right. Your other device that I don't even know the name of.
The Google Pixel?
What do you have?
I have a Pixel 8.
Pixel 8.
Yes, it's a little bit behind the iPhone.
Here's the funny thing is if the Pixel people went out of business and
they're
all of that.
Made by Google, so.
All right, I know. It's not going to happen. But if all of this went out of business and you were left with only an iPhone, I think you would just go off grid. I don't think you can make a deal with yourself to carry an iPhone around, even if that was the only thing available to you.
There's a few things in my life that I take very seriously.
Oh, yes. You're hardcore on that.
Because I have lost friends over the texting thing. I think it's incredibly...
Wait, they've left you or you've left them?
They've left me. I think it's incredibly...
They've left you?
Narcissistic of iPhone users to not like the blue bubble versus green bubble.
Well, I don't care for the green bubble, but I still will send you a message. It's okay with me.
Thank you.
I just don't care for it. I feel better. Here's why. I feel better when I send the blue bubble and then it says delivered underneath. Then I know I've done what I can do.
See, it's
the green bubble doesn't say anything, and I'm always kind of left twisting in the wind a little bit.
Well, now I have to say that Apple has made texting easier because they allow a certain, I think it's called RCS, Rich Communication Services.
Okay.
Instead of the MMS, which was what, or SMS, which is what their Swift messaging service.
You're losing me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing.
Anyway, long story short.
Way up here, Scrape. Way up here.
Go buy an iPhone from T-Mobile. That's what you should do.
Get one there. They got the i16 Pro.
I'm a company man, Chris.
I am. Chris and Chrisello, Matt Scraby. Tony's on his way back. Full show tomorrow as the Padres will have a day off. We should also remind you of this programming note. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. It's Thursday. That means you stop what you're doing and you tune in or watch on YouTube the Padre Roundtable. It is an hour of commercial-free Padre talk tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And this is either good news for some of you or it's bad news for some of you.
A little bit of both, I think.
Probably a little bit of both. Ben is off tomorrow, so they have asked, I don't know why, They've asked me to host the roundtable tomorrow. Could it be? Could the roundtable be a little prickly tomorrow with me as the host?
You know,
how Ben does us just a Ben does such a smooth job, and Ben can look you in the face and say your team stinks, and you go, yeah, you're right, Ben. He just has such a nice way about it. You know what I mean? When I say your team stinks, I mean it. You know, it's a totally different thing.
You know, you also have a little bit of a different circumstance for this when you're hosting. They are coming off of a losing road trip for the first time this year. They've looked worse they've had all year so far.
Yeah.
And you got Mr. Optimistic, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Tony will be here on the roundtable tomorrow as well.
We have to convince him something is wrong with this team.
I don't think you'll be able to convince him at all. I will do my best, though, because I do have some statistics that are rather glaring and rather weird and rather ugly, to be honest with you, surrounding this team.
See, I know you'll bring up things that are based upon stats.
Yes, it's a factual thing. Yeah. I don't have the opinion that the team is poor in any area, but the stats can back me up in a few areas. And so I'll bring some of that stuff up on the roundtable tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
Cool.
From 10 to 11 a.m., an hour of commercial-free Padre Talk brought to you by Roundtable Pizza, which is pizza royalty. That just starts off.
We have a massive day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow, right? Put it on 97.3 and I mean, shut
Stay
her down.
There.
Yeah, that's it. We got that 10 to 11. Then we have the regular day, right? We have you and I after Braden it from 2 to 6 with Tony in studio.
2 to 4.
Oh, okay, right. Let me do this again. You and I and Tony in studio tomorrow, but only from 2 to 4. Why? Because the roundtable plays again from 4 to 5 for those who missed it in the morning. And then at 5 o'clock tomorrow night, Scravy, I'm so excited. I may not sleep tonight.
I know. I've been thinking about you.
It is our in-depth coverage of the National Football League draft.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
You know nobody loves the draft like I do.
Tua Tagovailoa.
That was on Tua's biggest day of his life. This is how the commissioner pronounced his name.
Tua Tagovailoa.
That was closer than a lot of other people got on his draft day.
Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go. That's
Rick
what I
Ross.
Like better. Anyway, yeah, we got the draft tomorrow night. I'll be hosting, which means I'll just kind of set up these guys. Scraby, Braden will be in, break down all the picks. And if you are a football fan and you're out and about tomorrow night, you're covered, man. We got you covered on all the picks from number one right on through the entire first round tomorrow night. So
this Shedeur Sanders being drafted couldn't happen sooner. I'm so tired of the Shedeur Sanders news every time I click on a website.
Let me give people a little preview of tomorrow night's commentary on the draft. With the third pick in the National Football League draft, the New York Giants select Shedeur Sanders.
That's the Giants fan base. You think the Giants are going to select
That's
Shedeur?
That's the Giants fan base. But then what are you going to say after it's done?
I'm going to say this pick is...
blows.
Actually, this is what I'll say after that pick.
You know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to it.
You know, I like to be wrong.
Commentary on
I like
tomorrow.
To be wrong on these things. I do. Because I don't like to predict someone being terrible. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is a starting NFL quarterback out the gate. He needs some time.
Predicting that somebody will be terrible led to one of my highlights of my entire radio career.
What
I told
is
this?
You this. Have you told me this?
Oh, yes. A long time ago, Coach and I were hosting the NBA draft coverage.
Yes.
Joe Tatino, who was, by the way, one of the greatest guest getters of all time. Joe, if you're out there, nobody got a guest like Joe Tatino. They called him the Bulldog, and that's why. But that night of the draft, we somehow had the hotel number of where all the picks were staying. And I'll never forget the Warriors took I can't remember the guy's name. Todd. Oh, man. Now I'm blanking on his name. He was a forward from NC State. Todd. Let's just say Todd Johnson. So they select this guy. And me and Coach are going, back and forth, and I go, this Todd Johnson
Todd
guy.
Fuller.
Todd Fuller, thank you. I appreciate somebody got that for us. I said Todd Fuller's going to be a stiff. I've seen this guy play in college, and just then Tatino came in and said, hey, guys, we got Todd Fuller on the line. And he either heard me say what I said or he just missed it, but I don't know because I was so embarrassed when we went to the interview with him.
Yeah.
But the bottom line turned out to be pretty much a stiff. So
I take so credit
for
correct.
That. I take credit for that at the expense of our friend Todd Fuller. But anyway, all
do you
right.
think he tells that story? He's like, man,
I don't think he
after
hurt.
I got drafted, I was going on this radio station.
I was on the biggest high of my life.
Yeah, and this guy said, I'm a stiff before I go on the air. Ruin my career.
I'll say one thing. If he did hear me say it, he's the world's nicest guy because he didn't mention a word about it when he came on for the
interview.
Maybe
he thought he was a stiff.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, that's fun. Draft coverage tomorrow night. 5 till, I don't know, when's it go? 8:30, 9 o'clock, Scrape?
Yeah.
We don't care. We're going to be here, right? I'm in no hurry.
I have the mindset of I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah, we'll both be here for the long haul tomorrow night. So, tomorrow's a great day. I'm excited. Tomorrow, host the roundtable at 10. Through the regular day, and then 5 p.m. draft coverage. So make your plans to be with us for all of that stuff. Padres lose 6-0 to the Tigers today. Tigers hit 3 home runs in the ballgame, and the Padres obviously don't hit any. And they're shut out for the first time this season. We can thank our guy, Julio Iglesias.
Jose.
Why do I call him Julio? Because that was Julio Iglesias was the singer. That's
no,
why.
Oh, because and we have him on Friday for Friar Friday, so.
I might get it right when he comes on Friday.
Let's hope you get it right.
I hope I get it right. Jose Iglesias, he had both hits today. So if it's not for him, we're talking about even a worse day.
Yeah.
But he had 2 singles to right field. That was pretty much all she wrote for the Padre offense today in Detroit.
The final score doesn't really tell us how the Padres did hang in there for a little bit. Like, with this lineup, I think it's important to kind of remember and look for them to hang in there.
Well,
and look, put themselves in a spot to win a game.
When you have this kind of lineup, you got to take advantage of the chances you get. You're not going to get many because you know you're just going to have as much traffic as usual. And you got to get a couple of knocks. And they went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. And, you know, that combined with the fact that you don't have your guys, going to get shut out.
Yeah.
And so they did.
Because on the chat right now, we got people thinking that they're going to be below 500 by the time Merrill gets back. Like sky is not falling.
They're not going to be below 500 times Merrill gets back because I'm pretty sure he's going to be back this weekend.
Please.
I'm feeling it.
Please.
I think he'll be back this weekend. All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Kyle Glazer is a great baseball guy, hosts the Friar Territory podcast, but we know him from Baseball America, ESPN stuff. Good baseball mind. We'll find out what he thinks about things when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills. Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Padres go down 6-0 to the Detroit Tigers today. But how about some good news, Scrabe? I got two bits of good news before we get to Kyle Glazer.
Wow.
And talk some more baseball.
Okay.
And if you know me the way you do, you're surprised to hear that I have two bits of good news.
Yeah, I mean, so far.
That's normal. Normally, I don't have any.
We've had about 8 bits of bad news.
Yeah, well, you lose 6-0. I don't have much good news about that. But I do have this. Magoon Gwath, the great Aztec 7-footer, who had originally been in the transfer portal, then got out of the transfer portal and said he would come back to the Aztecs unless he turned pro, announced on his Instagram today that he's not going anywhere.
That is actually huge.
That's pretty good news.
Because I was very depressed the day Magoon Gwath left.
I was too. And you look at this Aztec basketball team. They had what for them was a bad year. Right? They only got to the NCAA tournament and then laid a big fat egg. And, you know, North Carolina, you know, crushed them. And it was really a sad end to the season, you know, where they finished, what, 4th in the regular season? And they didn't win the conference tournament. I think they went out in the first round of the conference tournament the first time in 17 years.
Who did they lose to? I mean, my memory is
I do
so
too.
Bad.
Yeah, it's a great question because
they went on to the, or
I think
they
it was
went
Boise
to the
State.
Championship. Yeah, it was Boise State.
It was Boise State. They lost to them. But so for them, that's a bad year. For me, it was still pretty good because I remember back when. But now that you get Magoon Gwath back healthy and the recruiting that apparently they have done with this Elise, is it Valentine? No,
I'm not even going to try.
It's a freshman recruit that's like 4-star, 5-star. I don't know.
I mean, this guy's such a big deal that the other day we were golfing and the golf partner asked us about him.
I know. People are really excited about Scott, our golf guy, asked me about him. But and I just remembered the Elise part. I didn't remember his last name. But doesn't matter. He's supposed to be great. They got a couple of good transfers. They got good guys coming back. People are saying the Yassin can be loaded for bear next year. Looking forward to that. We don't have Nick, our guy Nick
Boyd.
Nick Boyd. You know, he transferred. But so what? We got the other kid who was third in the league, third in the nation in assists.
Yeah.
Coming to replace
That's
him.
That's true from Louisiana Tech.
So.
LZ Harrington.
Thank you. Yeah, what'd I say? Livingston? I was not really close.
I don't know, but he plays at St. John Bosco.
Not anymore.
But not anymore, yeah.
Plays at San Diego State now.
He's 6'6". He initially committed to Harvard. He's a smart guy, too.
Apparently.
And then went to USC in December, and now he's at San Diego
State. Now he's an Aztec. All right, that's one bit of good news. Here's the other bit of good news. Although I don't know that this is something I want to go to because it's just going to open up a huge can of worms.
We're going to have to revisit?
May have to revisit. Young Padre shortstop, Leo Dallas DeVries, last night.
El Mutante!
In single A baseball at Fort Wayne, had a homer, a double, a single, another homer, and then finished off the cycle with a triple. He went 5-for-5 with 2 home runs, a sacrifice fly, and how about 8 RBIs?
And what was the final score?
I don't know.
The final score
I didn't even
was
bother to look at that.
They won 15-14.
Oh,
they
really?
They needed every single RBI that he put on the board.
So the wind was blowing out in Fort Wayne or wherever that game was played
I don't even know
night.
It was that, but El Mutante is what they're calling him, the mutant, and he is a mutant. He's 18, and he's hitting for a cycle and a two-home run cycle.
With eight ribs. Ribeyes.
Eight steaks.
Steaks, yes.
Like, if you don't get excited about that, if you're a Padres fan, I mean, that's exciting.
And now, let me ask you why I didn't want to bring it up.
Because everybody wants him to be on the big league roster.
Everybody wants him to replace Xander Bogaerts tomorrow.
Which I do plan on asking Kyle Glazer about the viability of DeVries making the big league team this year.
This year?
Yeah. I'm going to get him on the line right now.
I would bring him up tomorrow.
Oh, to replace Xander?
No, but to replace somebody. They got a lot of guys that are automatic.
Somebody.
They got a lot of guys that are automatic outs right now with all these injuries. All right. Great game for Leo Dallas. DeVries, you get a 5-for-5, 8-rib cycle, 2-homer. That's a hell of a game. I don't care if you're playing the game in a bandbox somewhere. That's a big, big game. All right, so there's our bits of good news. We'll revisit plenty of Padre baseball as the program goes along. 8 o'clock hour today. It's a little while from now, but make sure you're back with us if you have to go somewhere. We'll have the very popular new segment, Notes on a Scorecard. And I can tell you in advance that Scraby and I will be getting in a huge fight today during Notes on a Scorecard.
Oh,
I'm just
really?
Telling you in advance, you and I will get in a fight during the Notes on a Scorecard segment.
Okay.
It may not be a fist fight, but it's going to be a fight nonetheless.
Wow, I did not expect this.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, we're happy to be joined by one of the smartest baseball guys I know, Kyle Glazer, host of Friar Territory, the podcast. We've seen him with Baseball America.
Also contributor to MLB.com.
MLB. I mean, look, Kyle, anybody that wants smart baseball content goes to Kyle Glazer. That's why we're going to him on the program. Kyle, how are you, sir?
Doing all right, Chris. I appreciate the kind words. Happy to be on with you.
Good to talk to you. What we've seen in the last, well, at least this week in Detroit, maybe the whole road trip, is the reason why certain guys play in the major leagues and certain guys aren't quite ready for the major leagues. You know, the Padres have all these injuries. They're plugging guys in left and right. I'm sure everybody's giving it their best shot. You know, but you don't have your team right now, and you have you have three or four guys in each lineup that started the year in the minors, and you're not getting much in the way of offense. Talk a little bit about how this proves what we already know, that certain guys are just another level ahead of other guys.
Look, the Padres hit .223 and averaged 2.5 runs per game on this 6-game road trip. Obviously not the kind of production you want. And if you look at today's lineup, five guys in this lineup today would not be in the Padres' regular starting lineup when everyone is healthy and rested and ready to go. This is just kind of where they are right now. We've talked about this organization in part because of all the talented young prospects they've traded over the years to go get veterans. There's not a lot of depth here. It's a lot of veteran minor league free agent signing types that they had to bring in to fill out the AAA El Paso roster. And those are the guys we're now seeing in the majors. And again, a couple of those guys have certainly outperformed that contract status. You look at Gavin Sheets. Jose Iglesias was a great player last year. It was kind of surprising he was available on a minor league deal. But look, the Oscar Gonzalez's of the world, the Tyrsor Nellis's of the world, the Tyler Wade's of the world. There's a reason these guys have been outrighted, DFA'd, you know, forced to spend most of their careers in AAA. These are bench-type players that are being forced into everyday roles, and right now they're just trying to keep things afloat. I don't think you should expect any of these guys to excel. It's about just helping the team survive right now.
I agree with you, and that's kind of what we're seeing. And, you know, to add to what you just said, I mean, Tyler Wade, in the case of him, he was available for any team that wanted him on waivers for a song, but everyone passed on him. I think we were a little surprised, but that's what people think of Tyler Wade. Same for Eggy Rosario, which I was surprised by that as well. But, you know, the Padres are making do with what they can. Tell me what you're seeing on the other side of thing in the pitching, and most specifically with Nick Pivetta, breaking down some of the stuff that you like to look at and what is helping make him so much more successful so far this year than he's ever been before.
Well, the biggest thing with Nick Pivetta is he was a great change of scenery candidate. He's always had really good stuff and would miss bats and didn't walk a lot of hitters. The issue is he was pitching in front of a terrible defense in Boston that allowed way too many balls to fall in, so a lot of his innings were extended.
Yeah.
And he was prone to giving up hard contact in the air, which doesn't play very well in the AL East when you're pitching at Yankee Stadium, you're pitching at Fenway Park. So he had a bit of a home run problem. Just by putting him in front of a better defense in San Diego and then moving him to the NL West with more pitcher-friendly ballparks, it was reasonable to expect that he would perform better. But I think we're just seeing him just be so locked in and consistent. He's a very fiery guy. You see him on the mound, stomping around, showing energy. And that's great when he's going well. It has caused him some issues at times when things aren't going well. But we're seeing the best version of Nick Pivetta right now. The one thing I will note is he has done this a little bit before in his career where he will have a stretch of 6, 7, 8 starts where he looks absolutely dominant, and then he'll follow it up with a stretch of 6, 7, 8 starts where he's struggling to get out of the third or fourth inning. So it's been great to see so far, but I do think we need to give it a little bit of time and see if he can maintain it as opposed to falling back into his career-long pattern of 6 great starts, 6 bad starts, and so on and so forth.
Talking to Kyle Glazer, contributor to MLB.com, as well as Foul Territory. And Kyle, I'm kind of the person who has to field these questions because I think about these questions. Xander Bogaerts has not been great for the Padres. Now, he has the second most doubles on the team this year, but I'm seeing a lot of weak contact from Xander Bogaerts. And I understand that they're not going to go away from him because of the contract and because of necessity. But is there a positive outlook to ever really seeing the Xander Bogaerts that we thought we were going to get?
I think it's very important to modify expectations. The Xander Bogaerts, who was hitting 300 with 20 to 30 home runs, driving in 100 runs a year in Boston in his prime, that guy just hasn't been around for a few years. And it's very, very, very rare for someone in their 30s to suddenly rediscover the fountain of youth and perform like they did in their mid-20s. Realistically, where Xander Bogaerts is in his career right now, you're hoping for 270, 280 with a bunch of doubles and 15-ish home runs. And as your sixth hitter, that's more than fine. Right now, he's batting cleanup because of the Padres' injuries. Once guys come back and start getting healthy and he's your sixth hitter, that's fine. But realistically, that's what should be expected from him right now. Expecting him to be the same player he was at 26 when he was hitting 30 bombs a year, I just don't think that's realistic.
It's a great point. I mean, Xander Bogaerts was top 20 in the MVP balloting 5 years in a row. I mean, that's just, you know, that's not within his reach right now. But I agree. I mean, I said this. If he does 19 homers, and you said 15, and drives in 60, steals 19, and hits 280, we would all take that. Well, that's exactly what he did 2 years ago, but people were still upset with him then because he wasn't doing what he had done in Boston, you know?
And again, I think some of that is just a function of the contract he signed.
Yeah.
The expectations are naturally going to be higher, but I think if you kind of take a step back and really examine the player he is today and what he's capable of, that 280, 15, maybe he gets close to 20 home runs. That's just kind of who he is. And I think it's unfair to expect him to be at 32, 33, who he was at 24, 25, 26.
All right, so Xander Bogaerts is probably not going to be what he was now that he's in his 30s.
I agree with Kyle 100%. You have to shift your expectations on guys that are getting older.
It would be smart to do that. Speaking of that, Yuli Gurriel is in his 40s. And this is a guy that was a great hitter for Houston. I'm not seeing it right now, Kyle. I'm not seeing much. He's 4-for-32 with a double. But of the 28 outs, it seems like almost every one of them is just a lazy pop-up, a simple ground ball. He's not really making hard contact to me. I don't scout this stuff, but that, I'm not noticing it. How do teams decide when a guy is, you know, it's the end? And you hate to say it or see it, but it does happen.
We will see decisions like that made. Typically, you see it 1st of June. We saw with the Angels, for example, Miguel Sano and Aaron Hicks a year ago. Nelson Cruz, the Padres, held on to him throughout the All-Star break 2 years ago. But look, Yuli Gurriel, and I wrote about this and mentioned it, he was one of the best hitters in the world in his prime when he was in Cuba, When he came over, he was able to become one of the integral pieces of the Houston Astros teams that were perennial World Series contenders and two-time champions. He's had a great career. He has not hit for 3 years. This isn't new. He is 41. He hasn't hit for years. Signing him to a minor league deal with a roster bonus of over $1 million, I thought was the one real big mistake the Padres made in their offseason this year. It was a signing that didn't make sense the moment they made it. There are much better options available if you want to sign a right-handed first base DH type for $1 million. I think it's hard to expect him to give you anything when he's 41. And it's not like this is his first year in decline. This is his fourth year now where he's just not hitting anymore.
Yeah. It hurts to say it, but it does have to be. Age is undefeated, as we like to say around
Father
here.
Time's
Father time, yeah.
That's what Tony says. We're talking to Kyle Glazer here, contributor for MLB.com and Foul Territory. And I want to ask about the huge performance yesterday by Leo DeVries in Fort Wayne. He had the cycle. We were just talking about it. He had a two-home run cycle. And everyone that we've talked to leading up until now have said that he's probably not going to make his debut until 2027. Next year, 2026. Is there any chance you think we see Leo DeVries in a big league uniform this year?
Scrabby wants the wants it so bad.
I don't necessarily want it, but it would be fun to see.
I'll say this, knowing how aggressively AJ Preller likes to push prospects, often to their detriment, I'm never going to say there's a 0% chance.
Okay.
But it would not do him any good, or not do the Padres any good. This is a really, really, really talented kid.
Uh-oh.
Kyle was, he was rolling along nicely there.
See Kyle, can you hear us?
Kyle, can you hear us?
Oh, no.
We got to get him back because I got to hear the answer to that question.
We'll get him back.
About Leo DeVries.
Now we're in the standoff of, do I call him as he's calling me and then we hit the busy signal
together? I've heard that happen before. That is,
I'm just
going
to wait a few seconds, but... Yeah, I don't necessarily think that Leo DeVries is going to be a big leaguer this year, and I don't like rushing guys. We saw it with C.J. Abrams. C.J. Abrams was a guy they put on the big league roster who wasn't ready.
He's ready now.
He's ready now.
Yeah, it would be wonderful, but same with Ethan Salas. You got it. You come up and you struggle badly. A lot of times the old saying is it's hard to get your confidence back at the big league level. So that's why they don't bring guys up too early. All right, Kyle, finish up on Leo Dallas DeVries, if
yes,
you would,
he was
please.
Giving us a great answer on
it
the
It was
future.
A really good answer about Leo.
Hey, guys, sorry about that.
No worries. It happens. It happens.
Yeah, no, he's really talented. He's 18 years old. He's in A-ball. He needs time. He needs to, pitchers are going to see him second time through the league, third time through the league. He also has some footwork and just basic defensive fundamental stuff needs to work on at shortstop. Again, the natural things that come with being an 18-year-old in A-ball, there's no reason to rush this. Even if he comes up at the end of next year, he'd be 19 years old, which is still exceptionally young. Again, just let him develop on his own timeline. There's no reason to push this for him or the Padres.
For the record, I agree.
Okay, no, you don't. You
want yes,
him,
I do.
You want him tomorrow. I want to finish on an upbeat thing with Kyle. Fernando Tatis Jr., speaking of young guys who started out at 19, 20, what's he doing now that is allowing him to, for some reason, doesn't swing at any outside curveballs in the dirt, and squaring up almost everything, and he's an MVP candidate for the first 5 weeks of the season. What are you seeing from Fernando that's allowing what some people think is the real Fernando to come out?
ESPN had a really good graphic on Sunday Night Baseball where they showed he's standing a little further back in the box, his feet are a little bit closer together, and it's allowing him to track the ball just a little bit deeper, that extra, tenth of a second with pitch recognition, and just seeing where the baseball's going and just tracking it deeper, that's allowing him to, again, cut down his strikeout rate like we've seen. It's down 10%. And he's just driving everything. He's seeing the baseball longer. He's seeing it well. And the other thing we have to remember is because he's been around so long, we assume he's older than he is. He just is now 26. He is just now entering his prime, his physical prime. This is when guys really take off, this 26, 27, 28. This is when we see the best versions of players, and he's just now hitting that. So a combination of just natural age and maturity and reps combined with some of the changes he's made in the box, we are seeing the best version of Fernando Tatis Jr. we've ever seen, and I think we will continue to see him the rest of this year into next year and the year after that.
All right. Every time we interview Kyle Glazer, I finish the interview a little smarter.
Me too.
So I'm always happy to do that.
Me too.
I like, you know, that was a simple thing.
Yes.
Tell Fernando, move back a half a step. You'll see the ball a little longer.
I did tell him that, but he didn't listen to me.
I know he didn't listen to you, but he apparently listened to Victor Rodriguez. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. Good luck with the with MLB.com and everything, and stay in touch, sir.
Absolutely. Happy to join you guys anytime.
There he goes. Kyle Glazer, good stuff. MLB.com, host of Friar Territory, the podcast, and he's just smart on baseball. So,
yes.
You know, I didn't even think of that with Fernando. But
about his prime or
the tenth of a second that is allowing him not to swing at so many curves down in the dirt. Right? He used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
He used to go, here comes the curve, Fernando. Don't swing!
And then he would swing.
But this year he's tracking it beautifully. And that's one of the reasons why he's hammering the ball. Had his on-base streak ended today, though.
Yeah, that was going to happen at some point.
At some point.
Remember when Juan Soto ended Xander Bogaerts' on-base streak a couple years ago.
Yeah. Fernando's ends at 23. Padres lose 6-0. Daily Gambit coming up.